Michelle Visage.
Hi, RuPaul. Andre Charles.
Uh-huh, Michelle Visage.
RuPaul Charles.
Who was that guy? Was it Arnold who was on our radio who would call in every day? And I said, who
Arnold.
Was it?
Arnold. Do you know any black man named Arnold?
Yes.
You do?
I do. I
who?
Certainly
Name
do.
One.
Actually, I don't.
Okay.
So you're probably right.
Yes.
But I've heard of black men called Arnold.
Why can't I remember
his
name?
Was it start with an A? Anyway, no. Thank you so much. When we did Morning Drive Radio, we had people who would call in all the time. Remember Lynn from Lyndhurst?
I remember Lynn from Lyndhurst.
Yeah. And we had people who would call in all the time. And then there was Annette who would show up downstairs.
With her daughter.
Yes.
And her daughter ended up going on some super fan show on MTV about Pauly D from Jersey Shore.
Oh, right.
Vanessa.
Right. Vanessa, yes. Yeah. Yeah. But the guy we're thinking of, his name is, was it?
Marvin Lynch.
Marvin Lynch.
How did that just come to me?
I don't know.
Marvin Lynch, yeah.
But it's so funny.
Hey, RuPaul, Michelle Visage. Michelle Visage. Yeah.
He was actually a sweetheart, though. He was lovely. But it's interesting, the people who call in to radio stations, that they would even listen to radio like that.
In all my years of listening to morning radio, I never called in.
Really?
It's only recently, and I'm almost embarrassed to admit this, being a radio personality for all those years, I'm really getting into AM radio these days.
What?
I never
thought. Why? What?
Because I love talk radio. Yeah. I always did.
Yeah.
I always loved it. And the talk radio in LA is very bad.
Yeah.
But their AM talk radio is better. So I listened to it, and I actually picked up the phone to call in once.
See, and that's because of your commute. You commute from Hollywood out to...
to Calabasas. Yeah. Yes. And I literally went, oh my God, I'm calling in a talk radio
You've
show.
You've become that person.
I hung up.
You hung up.
I stopped myself.
You stopped yourself.
I edited myself.
Uh-huh.
Very necessary.
You're becoming that person.
I'm becoming Marvina Lynch.
Yeah, yeah. You're Marvina Lynch from Lyndhurst.
Yes. Exactly. But, you know,
What were you going to say?
You know, I listened to this courtroom program where the guy's a judge and you weigh in on the topic that he's talking about.
Yeah.
So that's what I was going to do. And I was very passionate. And everybody was passionate because I couldn't even get on the phone. And then I realized, what are you doing? Visage,
right.
What are you doing?
Uh-huh.
Hang up that phone right now, you pathetic bitch.
I once won tickets. No, actually, it wasn't tickets. I won a Doobie Brothers album. And this is probably night. I think the album was called Taking It to the Streets.
A, you were a child.
Yes.
B, you were getting something.
Yes.
This is me just giving you my opinion, needing to feel validated at the moment because nobody was saying what I was thinking. What's worse? B.
Yeah, well, and also the fact that you're a radio personality.
Yes! And I'm listening to AM radio. I should be embarrassed. I'm sorry to any of my radio brethren that are listening, but the LA radio is the worst. FM radio, it's terrible. Terrible.
Even when you were in this, doing this market, because you worked in LA radio.
Well, my show was good.
Uh-huh.
But that radio station doesn't exist anymore the way it was. They turned it to a hip-hop station. Now Big Boy's doing mornings on my old station.
Wow.
And Big Boy's great at what he does, but hip-hop is not what it was.
Right.
It's lost its luster. Modern day hip hop is not. So I listen to Backspin on Sirius XM and I get really happy.
Right, because they play KRS-One
and
Boogie Down Productions.
Oh my God, they let me have it. And I love Ed Lover's show on there. And it just brings me back
on
to
Sirius?
What? Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It brings me back to what radio was and what I found love with, you know, the way Ed does it. Because he's a man of a certain age and.
Yeah.
That's when it was good, and that's when hip hop was good to me. I followed it through the generations, and I loved it. But I kind of fell out of love over the past 5 or 6 years. It's stale. It's not.
Right.
There's nothing new happening.
Well, you know, I obviously listened to radio when I was a kid, and then I still listen to KPRW. What is it? KCPRW.
KPRW is Power 106.
No.
KCRW.
KCRW?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the oldie station.
No, it's not. It's the public radio.
Oh, that's NPR.
Yes.
NPR?
It's NPR,
yeah,
but here in LA.
It's called KCRW.
On,
yes.
But they have music too.
They have music too.
Do you listen to the music shows?
Sometimes I do.
Yeah,
I do. But I got to admit to you, I don't like the sound of radio. I don't like the compressed.
It's tinny. Yeah.
And there's my ears are very, very sensitive, Michelle.
Yeah. You're an audiophile.
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
So, but you know, I got to tell you, MP3s don't bother me. I know I love an analog something, but I don't mind an MP3. It doesn't, and they're compressed.
Yeah.
I don't mind it as much as I do on the radio.
See, I don't mind the music on the radio. I mind the personalities because everybody has been so gentrified and whitewashed and vanilla. Right. And I think Ryan Seacrest, I'm happy for him and his success, but even his show, like the when they put it all over the world, it's like people want the crop reports in Iowa. They don't need to hear what Khloe Kardashian is doing. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
They know they can get it at any time. It's the live and local bit that's gone for me.
Right.
And when it's not there, I don't feel it. Like in New York, I don't want to hear about what's happening like in Iowa or Illinois. So it's like, why wouldn't you do the same thing for the respective states?
Right.
So for me, it's so vanilla-ized here. There's no personality in the personalities on the radio.
Right.
Sorry about it.
Hey, you know, they do the market testing and the general public, they don't care. They don't care. Answer me this.
Yeah.
You know, in every city I've lived in, Dallas Raines has been the weatherman.
Uh-huh. No.
So is he A, following me around, or is he just doing the weather for all of those cities remotely?
Just like radio, they have people that they like, i.e. Elvis Duran, Ryan Seacrest, Dallas Raines, Storm Fields, and they just put them on. And that's how they do it. That's
it's
why.
Satellite. It's like.
Satellite, yeah. That's why the people that you, if you say you move to Montana and you go, oh my God, Elvis Duran is doing mornings in Montana. No, Elvis Duran is getting paid $5 million to do all these different radio stations. But if you're a person like me, somebody with a vagina or somebody who hasn't had a huge deal with iHeartMedia, iHeartRadio, then you'll get paid like $9,000 to do an extra market. So if you're doing mornings in West Palm Beach and they go, we want to put you on in Tampa, we'll pay you $9,000 to track midday extra.
A month?
No, girl. A year.
Oh, please.
But somebody like Ryan, Elvis, Mancow in his height, not really anymore. Mm-hmm. People like big name, John London, big names over the years would have gotten major deals to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why there's only two big names in radio, because they've monopolized.
Well, you know, that's the name of the game. Doesn't every industry have that? And you know, that's why, you know, this whole Uber thing, people, the cab drivers are upset.
Oh, upset is putting it mildly.
Uber is taken over.
And it's so brilliant. Don't you wish you came up with that idea?
It's so brilliant.
Brilliant.
And I honestly, listen, I've taken cabs in my life. I still take cabs in New York. I do all that. But if I have the opportunity, I use an Uber.
Oh, I Uber all the time.
Yeah.
I do. The only thing that pisses me off is when you're in New York City and you try to Uber and they go, oh, double.
Peak hours.
Yes. Double the fare, 2.5.
Yes.
Uh-uh.
Yes.
No, you could take two seats. I'm going to wait for a yellow cab.
Exactly.
And what happens? The yellow cabs are never available and I end up paying two times the fare. And then it keeps going up, up, up. But Ubers, brilliant.
Well, that's the thing. You know, in industry, in any business, if you don't stay up and keep up with the current trends or what the market will stand, what the consumers are looking for, you will be phased out. I now stop me if you've heard this before. Me talking about all those documentaries out of Detroit several years ago, just a few years ago, that were talking about the death of Detroit.
Yes.
And I remember one of them.
Well, because it was the first bankrupt city.
It was the first bankrupt city, but it was industrial giant.
Yes.
That basically the business moved away from there because it was cheaper to work for someone else to work these businesses somewhere else.
Yes.
But, you know, they had these meetings in these films, these documentaries, where it was all the unions getting, we've got to get our jobs back and we've got to do this. And it's like, honey, that ship has sailed.
Move on.
You have to move on from there because people don't, and I've said this before, those factories in Cleveland and Buffalo, in Gary, Indiana, and Detroit, they were there because the heat of manufacturing things, they didn't have a lot of air conditioning way back. So they put those factories there.
It's cold winters.
Because it was cold winters.
Same thing with Allentown, same thing. Yeah.
The machinery got hot and you could keep it cold. Well, that became obsolete because you could get stronger air conditioners. The machines became more
efficient.
So you didn't need, so it phased it out.
That makes
and
sense.
And I said all that to say that whatever profession you're in, you have to stay on top of it to take on more skills because the climate, the landscape changes, and you have to be willing to change with it.
And that's why I kind of walked away, because for me—
From radio.
Yeah, from terrestrial radio.
What about extraterrestrial radio?
Well, I always love an extraterrestrial radio station.
What
Count
about extra testicles radio?
Ooh, that one too? I've been there before. But for me, I feel like I would do it again in a heartbeat if it was right and it was the show that I wanted to do and they played the music that I vibed with, or even talk radio on terrestrial radio. That's great. That's fantastic. But I know as a woman, and I know I preach this and it sounds redundant, but it's so true. We'll never make what a man makes in radio. If you look at the landscape, it's 90% men. Mm-hmm. The women will never make what the men, blah, 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 blah. Even in charge. There's no women in charge. If there are, there's like one or two.
Right.
Radio One has a woman, you know, it's mm-hmm. the black owned company. Yes. Thank God. You know, there's women up there, but in my landscape, it was not going to happen. So for me, it was like, look, you're not going to let me do what I want to do because you're actually failing. Radio's now gone backwards. Mm. It's not making the money what it was. They're not paying the talent what we were getting paid.
You got Spotify, you got all this other, you know,
and they can't compete with that. I don't give a crap what app you put out. I don't want to hear an app with my radio. Like, you think I'm going to listen to an app to hear a radio station? No. I'm going to hear an app that's not going to give me commercials, not going to give me personalities talking all over my shit.
Right.
I want to hear my joint without you blabbing over it. I'm not going to download your app to hear your radio station wherever I am. Who cares?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I was the personality going, oh, you don't want to hear me talk, but I'm really funny.
Uh-huh.
So I realized that things were changing and not for the better.
Right.
That's why now DJs, which would have been me, are doing 10 different radio stations so they can make the money that they normally would have gotten on a regular full-time gig.
Yeah.
It's tough. Yeah, I learned how to edit. I learned how to do all these things on the machinery before I walked away because television for me is where I'd rather be right now anyway. Radio will always be there. I'll always love it. I will never speak down about the actual medium of radio because it's the only thing that's left that's free. And I love it. But it's the way the people that are in charge are thinking. They're thinking so narrow-mindedly. They think they're thinking large by going, oh God, we're going to go global. We're going to do this online and give you content. It doesn't do shit. We don't want that.
Right.
We want local radio with people that are funny, who speak the language we speak, and then play the songs we want to hear. End of.
Well, that's what attracts me to, was it KPRW?
Yeah,
what, was
KCRW.
It? KCRW.
Yeah.
That, because it does feel local. It feels like it's an LA station.
Because it is.
Yeah.
You want to know why? Those people are not getting paid $1.7 million to do a waka 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 morning show to get their 1834 female numbers up.
Right.
It's like they don't give a shit.
Right.
They have their demo. They are super serving their demo. Yeah. And it's great. I love KCRW.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. I listen for the NPR, like the talk part
of
it.
I love that stuff.
Yeah.
I love it. But, you know, when I'm in the car, usually I listen to my iPod.
That's exactly right. That's the point. That's the growth thing that they're missing.
Yeah.
If they gave people what they wanted with better content and better personalities and not names, quote unquote, we don't need to hear a Kardashian hosting a radio show.
Well, I think I might need to.
You can take that. And it's no disrespect. Yeah. But for me, I'd rather hear somebody who wants to be on the radio to be on the radio and not for a paycheck.
Yeah.
That's what it means to me.
So listen, we're going to take a quick break. But when we come back, I want to talk about my nails.
What's really moving and mattering in the world right
because
now.
Because I'm actually wearing acrylics right now. And I just want to let you in on the whole experience.
It's mind-numbing. You guys will not want to miss this. Mind-numbing radio right now. Stick around.
Hey, Michelle, it just occurred to me, it's a brand new year, and why not start off the right way?
Yeah.
With a set of Boll & Branch sheets.
Isn't it funny how we want to say a pair of sheets?
What is that?
I don't know. I think it's an East Coast thing. I'm not sure. Some people will call them sheet sets.
A set of sheets,
We say a pair of sheets.
I don't know what that's about. Maybe maybe Boll & Branch has just influenced us to think differently about sheets. I know they have with the way I see department store sheets.
100%. The jack up on the prices in department stores, I had no idea. And I was one of those people who believed that you needed to have thread counts and all that crap.
The Egyptian cotton, all that stuff.
What a bunch of malarkey.
It's complete cockamamie.
I'm telling you.
My goodness. Now, so what you do is you go to Boll & Branch and you get those gorgeous, gorgeous sheets.
Not only that, they're so sure that you're going to fall in love with their sheets that they give you, are you ready? 30 days and 30 nights to try them out. If you don't love them for any reason, which you absolutely will, they take them back and they refund you with no hassle at all. But
I got to tell you, it doesn't get better than that, kids.
No.
Go to BollAndBranch.com today for 20% off your entire order. Sheets, towels, blankets, duvet covers, everything, plus free shipping. And all their products come beautifully packaged in their signature boxes. And that's 20% off your entire order with the promo code RU. That's BollAndBranch.com, offer code RU. We're joking about my nails. He's telling me Michelle and I should have a tech company. Computers and stuff. I said, honey, we're in a nail tech company.
Nail tech company. Have you met Rue and I, a tech company?
Well, it's more on my side than your
100%.
side. 100%. I could do some type of thing, but let's talk about nail techs now. Because I am wearing acrylic nails. You know, Michelle said, get a color that matches the palm of your hand.
Yes.
And look at this, Michelle. It matches the palm of my hand.
And there's something really beautiful, especially about your skin tone, but any skin tone. I always usually, not always, but I tend to go gravitate towards nudes because they extend your fingers.
Yes.
And that's why Barbara always wore nudes, because she always sings with her hands, and she had that almond-shaped nail, and then she'd extend her fingers, and you would see that nude nail at the end.
Yeah.
So Rue texted me and said, okay, I'm going to do this, and I was literally like, what? And so I said, make sure you get something that matches the inside of your palm, and do a nice almond shape, not a pointy stiletto that the kids do. It's yuck. And not square that I did for 100 years. It's
very
you've
jersey. Got stilettos right
no,
now.
No, this is an almond.
Oh, that's an almond.
This is almond. Okay. You're a little rounder than I am. But still, they're very similar.
Yeah.
Mine are just longer, so they tend to go a little pointier. But and Rue did it, and his hands look gorgeous.
It's so funny, though, because it changes everything that I do.
Yes.
You know, like the keypad on the computer. You know, I have a separate keypad.
Yeah.
And that's a little bit of a challenge.
Everything's a bit of a challenge when you first, if they grew with you, it wouldn't be a challenge.
Right.
But because you just put them on, and they're actually a good length, they're a little longer than an active length, which I thought was important, because when you get them too long, you can't do things like put a credit card in a gas pump.
Right. Or in the parking meter.
You can't do any of that. And even that's difficult. Mm-hmm. So you went with a great length. And, you know, the thing that Rue and I joke about now is Rue always feels the need to point, like, look at this.
Yeah. Well, George's mother, that's been a joke with us for years, is that George's mother has these long nails. She's complete drag.
Oh,
and
I know.
So she'll she'll be in the passenger side, and she'll say, oh, look at that restaurant. And she'll tap the tip of her nail on the window. Say, oh, that restaurant right there, that looks really good, you know. Oh, actually, she say it with an Australian accent. Oh, that looks really good right there.
And it's that sound.
Yeah, and she would tap the... So, of course, I do that.
Yeah.
I do that now.
Yeah.
But I used to, years ago, 30 years ago, I used to paint my nails for many years. I would paint them either black or white.
Even when you were a boy.
I would paint them. And then, but I rarely wore those dragon nails.
We had them on from Mac.
That was the only time I had them professionally done by Bernadine. She was
I think it's Bernadette.
She's a famous go-to person.
She did Vogue.
Steve Amazel used her. She's the one that the fashion industry uses. But they call her Bern because nobody can remember if it's Bernadette or Bernadine.
Hence our conversation.
Right, yeah. So anyway, I did that in 2000 for a Mac campaign. And but before that, I really hadn't worn a lot of dragon nails.
No.
I had done a few times with, where I just super glued those fake ones on, those dragon ones. But not like this. That's acrylic. And I didn't know, Michelle.
What?
That they glue that little tip on to my existing nail. And then they take that gummy...
It's called acrylic.
That's the acrylic right there.
Yes.
And they do this technique that's so fascinating to
Bernadette
watch.
Thompson.
That's her name? Bernadette. Yeah.
Bernadette Thompson.
And she's the go-to person in
New
York.
She has been for 100 years, I believe.
Well, when she did me for that MAC campaign, they were... What are the fake... The full nail.
Yeah, it was just a full tip. She put the whole thing on top of it.
And that was beautiful.
That wasn't like, okay, it wasn't just the tip.
Yeah.
Where then they put the acrylic on. It was the actual full nail. So she decorated or beautifully painted that
full
nail.
She decorated my life.
And she did.
Yes.
She did.
And so it's an interesting thing. I the other day I was finishing up work, and I opened up my mini fridge in the dressing room.
Oh, what'd you do?
And my nail popped in half.
Yes, it did. Now, did it hurt?
It did not hurt.
Okay.
Because it was the tip that she had glued on.
Okay.
That's the part that broke in half.
But sometimes, honey, they'll break down here.
Oh, no, no, no. Yes. Oh, Lord.
And then you have to put glue in it.
Oh, dear.
Because otherwise it's dangling and it breaks right all the way down to your nail bed.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, there's dangers. It's happened so many times to me. I've had my whole entire nail come off.
Yeah.
And they just have to let it grow. And I even went to my guy and I said, so are you going to charge me less because I only have 9 nails? He didn't like that joke. He didn't get it.
You go to a man?
I did. Yeah. This was a while back.
Yeah.
They've been good since I've kept them a little bit shorter. When I had crazy long nails, they would break all the time. And I told you, I can't even believe you have nails without glue.
Well, no, I didn't know I needed glue. I thought with this acrylic stuff.
It's strong, but you need glue.
See, when people said, I've got acrylics, or I just assumed they were talking about that thing that Bernadette had put on me. I thought that's what they meant.
No, that's a nail. That's the actual nail.
That's a
whole
fake
nail. The acrylic is the gummy stuff.
Yeah, see, I didn't know that. Right. I assumed that that was it. See, I didn't know.
So you have acrylic nails with gel.
Yes.
That's
what you
have.
And I have gel polish, which doesn't?
It doesn't chip. It's always shiny.
Yeah.
It costs more money, but it's worth it because you are worth it.
And I am worth it. And I've painted over them and taken the paint off
and my nails are still intact.
Yes,
honey.
Intact.
Look at her.
Oh, she's becoming a woman. She's wearing nails.
I love it. She's giving it to the children.
It's so funny, though, but it's, you know, I kind of secretly can't wait for them to be off, though.
Yeah, look, there's always a part of me that's like, is this worth it? My nail beds underneath are literally as thin as paper that you'd wrap. What do you call it?
Rice paper.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We'll go with rice paper.
Yeah.
They're as thin as that.
Really?
They are shredded after.
I've
been wearing nails since I moved to New York City. So I was 17 years old.
Oh,
I started with silk wraps. They didn't even do acrylic nails in New York City when I moved there. They only did them in the boroughs and in Jersey. They didn't do them in the city.
What is a silk wrap? I've heard of silk
wrap. It's literally a piece of silk that they put on your nail and it strengthened it.
Uh-huh.
They put glue on it.
Yeah.
They'd file it and they'd buff it out.
Yes.
Remember that back in the day?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's how long I've been doing nails. The only times I've had nails off were when I was dead broke and couldn't afford it.
Mm-hmm.
And that happened like once or twice over the past few years, you know, past 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I had my children, mm-hmm. I didn't have any nails on because that's obnoxious.
Right.
But kind
of hot too.
Totally hot. Except I was afraid to shove a nail up my daughter's vagina or upper ass or something.
Because having nails means you don't really work at anything. I mean, that's where the affluent part of it comes from, right? It sort of sends a signal, says, you know what? I am such a rich bitch that
I can afford this.
Yeah.
Cause I'm not
doing,
for me.
I'm not doing any laundry.
But even when my nails were that long, I cleaned, I'm not going to say I cooked because I do cook, but really.
Right.
The only thing I could never do and still can't is do the fitted sheet on the bed. So that's my husband's job.
Right.
But I'll do everything else. I cook, I clean, I do dishes.
Yeah.
When I do dishes, I rinse them and put them in the dishwasher. But I will scrub a pan.
Yeah.
Because they don't put pans in the dishwasher.
Yeah.
So I do the work. But yes, that thing, that old adage comes from the rich white woman who doesn't, people do things for her so she can have her nails like that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I understand it. You know, of course, every gesture I make is predicated on how my hand will look.
Yes, but don't you think it adds a level to your drag?
Probably.
Yeah.
You know, and I had to ask myself, am I doing this because Alaska has a song? She has a song.
You know, if you're not wearing nails, you're not doing drag.
Yeah.
She name checked me too. She said, Miss Massage got it right. Well, your nails, something tight.
Right, right. But, you know, listen, I've worn nails before. I was just never that kind of a queen. I was, you know.
I think polished counts. Meaning, if you're a queen who doesn't do nails, if you slap a coat of nail polish on, that counts for me.
Yeah, yeah, I would always wear nail polish.
But that counts.
Yeah.
You don't have to wear that. But the nails does take it. The nails do take it to another level.
The nails do take it to another level.
They do. So if you're going for the tens across the board,
yes,
you want to slap the nails on.
Yeah.
They don't have to be dragon lady. The totally active length is total acceptable.
Right. So right now, how long will I have to wear these nails? Do you know the dates? Like, you don't have to say the date, but how many weeks?
I would say you'll have to wear them for
five
more weeks.
5 more weeks?
4 more weeks or 5 more weeks. 4 more weeks? 5 more weeks at the most.
Okay, all right.
And then you get them soaked off, and then you get a nice manicure, and your nails will be shredded underneath.
Uh-huh.
But
yeah.
you have really strong nail beds.
I do.
And they're not abused for years and years of doing this. So they're going to take them off, just soak them off, and then you'll get this product called Nailteaks.
Yeah.
And what it does is it just makes your nails grow stronger and faster, and your nails will grow out.
Does it have like gelatin? Remember they used to say if you drink gelatin?
That's true. Gelatin strengthens your bones and your hair. My mother used to drink it all the time. They sell it.
They sell it.
Just for that.
Right.
But gelatin is ground up cow hooves.
Exactly.
So I'm not all about that.
Right. Because that's not vegan, is it?
Cow hooves are not vegan.
It's just satanic, FYI. Actually. Yeah. Anything with, if it has hooves in it, It's satanic.
Cloven hooves would not be what you want to drink. Just for the record, no. No forked tongues.
Right.
No cloven hooves.
Yes, yes. No, no. False idols. Or,
no, yes. Idolatry, none of that. But I'm proud of you that you did it. And I was so happy when you texted me and you, yes, showed me,
well,
your picture.
Well, listen, I was going to get nails. I knew that I wanted to do it. So, of course, the first, the first call I make, the first text I make is to Michelle Visage.
Yeah, it makes sense. And for the kids out there who always wanted to try it, boys, girls, or otherwise, go for it. Because you do it once, don't go crazy with the length, and you see if it works for you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I do love the way my hands look.
And, of course, you know, it just, I don't know what it does. It makes them look more delicate or dainty.
Well,
or,
of course, you know, before we go out on the stage, Matthew, after he's finished doing me, hair and makeup.
Oh, hey, I didn't know it was there.
Yeah. We have a little psych where he takes my picture.
Right.
And before we go on the stage. And so, of course, you know, I'm posing. I have my hand there and everything. And with the nude color on here, he can change the color of the nail if I
are
don't
you kidding
change.
Me.
Yeah, if this is the perfect color for him to change it in post.
So magical.
Yeah. So, and then of course, where I put my hand and how I do my hand, you know, it changes everything. You know, I did a photo for the new candy bar, which is over at the RuPaul pop-up, uh-huh, shop. It's dark chocolate,
yeah, Nutella
almonds and cinnamon. Well, I have it, and I'm doing this. I've got to show it to you on my phone.
Okay.
I'm doing this with my finger, with my nail. I'm going.
And so he's got it between his lips and he's like doing like, yeah, a yummy little koi.
Yeah. And then I was doing this.
Uh-huh.
All that kind of stuff. So much fun.
Yeah. Oh, I can't wait to see.
Yeah. No, it's really great. So, yeah. So,
and that candy bar must be yum.
It is delicious. I think I may like it more than the peanut butter
see,
one.
See, I'm not a dark chocolate girl. I have to be now because of the veganism, because it's, yeah, the only thing you can get that's vegan.
Uh-huh.
But I'll tell you what. That milk chocolate peanut butter bitch,
yes,
that is a candy bar.
Yeah, it really, really is.
Because the dark chocolate part of your bar is vegan. The Nutella, however.
Yes, is not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what does it.
Girl, it is so good. But you know, you can have my hard candies.
I've had your hard candies. How do you think I'm always a co-host on your show?
Right, exactly.
No, that hard candy, it's called Sticky.
It's called Sticky.
It is amazing, and it is vegan and gluten-free.
Yes, and it's a peppermint. It's a peppermint. Yes. We'll probably come up with some other flavors, but you know, if you go to sweetla.com,
no,
I don't know.
It's Sweet Store.
Sweet Los Angeles.
Yeah, sweetlosangeles.com.
I don't know. I
or
have
Sweet
no
Store
idea.
LA. I think it's Sweet Store LA.
If you try one of those, we
or just Google Sweet Store Los Angeles. Yeah. They have that product called Sticky. You can get the RuPaul ones that have sayings. One of them's work, one of them's say love, one of them's shady.
Shady, yeah. Yes.
And
yes.
Ruse are, what is it, Alex?
SweetLosAngeles.com.
Sweet Los Angeles. You're right. Sweet Los Angeles.
All over the world.
But the stickies, so you can get Ruse candy bars. The stickies, they come in fruit flavors as well, and they're so good. Good.
Yeah.
I highly recommend them. Yes, they're sugar. Yes, they're terrible for you as far as sugar goes.
Yeah.
But if you want a treat, I highly recommend
it. Yes, yes. In fact, you know, George's sister mailed away for some for they live in Perth, and or Mandra, which is
Australia.
It's a suburb of Perth in Australia. And she got a bunch of, and they came in ice. They came in dry ice or something.
Even to Australia.
Yes, yes. It's packed so well that, you know, they don't melt. Well, I want to talk about what you do, what people do with their stuff after a while. Like, do you just hoard it? Or anyway, we're going to take a break.
Okay.
I want to talk about that.
Do you hoard it?
Yeah. You're a collector. You're not a hoarder.
I'm a collector. Exactly. I'm a cum collector, actually. We'll be back.
This episode is sponsored by Casper. Casper is an amazing online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the price. The mattress industry has forced consumers into paying notoriously high markups. Casper is not a fan of that business model, and neither am I. Casper is revolutionizing the mattress industry by cutting the cost of dealing with resellers and showrooms and passing those savings on to you. Casper's mattresses are so great. They have this new hybrid mattress that combines premium latex foam with memory foam, so they are extra comfortable. They have just the right amount of sink and just the right amount of bounce. And they're so confident in the quality of their mattresses that they have a risk-free trial and return policy. You can try sleeping on a Casper for 100 days with free delivery and painless returns. That's 100% risk-free, so what are you waiting for? Just go to Casper.com/Rue and get $50 toward any mattress purchase right now by using the offer code RU. Terms and conditions may apply. That's Casper.com/Rue. Offer code RU and get started today.
Hoarding. Do you do it and why? Go.
No, I wonder. Now, you shop a lot. You said you still have some of those. What was her name? Agatha Jean? Those leather.
Agatha, yeah. Agatha. New York City custom leather.
You still have some of those.
Haven't fit them since the 80s.
And you are not going to get rid of them. You're going to sell them.
I'm exaggerating. I wore them when, 97?
97,
yeah.
Yes.
I have two teenage daughters.
And you expect them to look like whores too?
Yes.
But they're not like that.
Listen, well, one of them is.
You, the little one.
The older one. No, the little one's a Mormon. I haven't told you my Mormon story.
No, you have not. Do you want to open that up here? Because, you know, she's got to live with this stuff.
No,
you know?
We won't. Yeah. I'll wait and talk to her about it before I do that to her because she'll be really upset.
But, okay, let's just skirt around it so it won't embarrass her.
Let me just say that when we go shopping, my older one, she wears my old stuff, some of the stuff. Uh-huh. I get her style.
Yeah.
She calls herself like kind of Tumblr chic, like that's the girl. She's
Tumblr chic.
It's an online thing. She dresses very Tumblr-y and she's nerdy, but she's
also. Are you saying Tumblr?
Yeah, Tumblr. Do you know about Tumblr?
I know about Tumblr.
They have a whole style of fashion, Tumblr kids. Just go with me here.
Okay,
trust me on this.
Yeah.
So that's her style of fashion, right? Yeah. And she's very androgynous. She mm-hmm. plays that up. She's, you know, I'm showing her things to be like, oh, look at Annie Lennox, look at Pete Burns, like I showed her so she can understand that androgyny can be in so many different levels and she loves it. But she also likes to look like a boy in a way, but dressed like a hyper girl.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like her thing at the moment, which I love.
It's I love fun. It.
Yeah, she's experimenting and she's stunning. And my little one who's gorgeous, like if I show her something that is spaghetti strap, yeah. She'll go, no, that's showing too much. And I'll go, okay. It's not showing anything. It's just a spaghetti strap.
For her or for you?
For her.
Well, but she's 13, right?
Yeah, she's 13. She doesn't feel comfortable. Shorts are too short. Like, she's like, no. So I just call her my Mormon.
I see.
And she gets very upset. And, yeah. You know, I don't mean it, but I mean, like, if she could wear a long pant bathing suit, I do believe she might.
Really?
And she watches this little family on YouTube that happen to be Mormons.
Uh-huh.
And I really think there's something. I'm like, are you telling me something? Mm. Do you want to
mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
Do you want to go? And then she's the one who asks if she can go to church.
Really?
Yeah. So she has a different calling in life. And I don't judge her. I think it's adorable.
Yeah.
But if I make fun of her and I'll go, there's the Mormon section over there, she gets like very upset.
Right.
But I just tease her because she'll wear like the button-up blouse with it all buttoned up. And, you know, she doesn't like to show any skin when it's 500 degrees outside. But that's her. I'm not judging her. That's her.
Yeah, but don't you think everybody wants to rebel?
I am judging her.
Rebel against their parents. You know,
they do the opposite.
They do the opposite. Yeah. Do you think that's what this is?
No, I think she's trying to find her own way.
Sure. Yeah.
And I love it. If that's what she wants to do, then I buy it. And when she does buy something short, I'm like, oh, scandalo.
Uh-huh.
But I think it's actually really precious that she wants to do the opposite of her sister.
Yeah.
You know, and she'll judge her sister. She'll go to Lily and go, so are you like a lesbian or what? And Lily's like, actually, I don't know. Lola's like, okay. And she'll just walk away. You know, uh-huh. They have those moments. It's really interesting to watch this kind of dynamic that's happening in my house.
So you're passing your whore clothes down
onto Lily.
Your daughters. Yeah. And but what so you is the plan has the plan been to say, you know, one day I'm gonna fit right back into this, or you just gonna hold on to
I
it?
I think every woman
you've moved East Coast, West Coast.
Yes.
And you've dragged that shit with you the whole time.
Every time. You sound like my husband. Okay? Shut up. There's a reason. And yes, every woman listening will concur. And I'm talking to the women here because it's most definitely a female thing where we have our clothes from high school or college and we save our favorite pair of jeans and we have our babies and we gain 50 pounds, sometimes more, sometimes less, and we lose it. And we go, you know what? I'm going to get in those college jeans, Oprah. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do it. Mm-hmm. And yes, so there's a lot of me that does save that because guess what? I am fitting into that stuff
mm-hmm.
right now.
Mm-hmm.
So would I wear those leather jeans right now? Probably being a vegan, no. But at the same time, probably not being that person anymore is more likely the reason I'm not wearing them.
Yeah.
Because that's not my style anymore. Yeah. And when I show them to Lily, she's like, ew. So I don't know why.
Right, because we're talking. These are like Britney Spears. Yeah, leather
she
jeans.
Made the Britney stuff.
Yes, and they're like red with gold metallic leather
stars
and fire.
Yeah, you know. Fire patterns. Yeah. They're definitely artistry.
Yeah,
like,
beautiful.
I should hang them. That's
did
how
I have any of that stuff? No, I didn't. Did
I? Don't know, but Joelle did.
Joelle did.
Yeah, they really are stunning. And that center of the '90s moment was very real. I mean, they were $1,000, and I bought 7 or 8 pairs of them. Mm-hmm. So I think that fundamental, and she would give me a break too, mm-hmm. because she's my friend. But at the same time, it's like, I do wear the jeans she's made me, and I wear like the camo pants she's made me.
It's not Agatha. It's
she says it Agatha.
Agatha.
Agatha. The emphasis is on a different syllable. Yeah.
But don't you hate when people do that?
It seems very highfalutin and trifling, but that's how she says it. I think that's how it's meant to be.
I want you to, from now on, to call me Rapool.
Well, that's how mommy calls me.
I know, Rapool.
Rapool.
Or Ruth Paul.
You get that one a lot.
Yeah, call me Ruth Paul.
Yeah, all right, you got it, Ruth Paul.
Yeah.
So for me, yeah, there is a portion of hoarding, but I've just, in this change of my life and getting rid of 50 pounds and changing my image a little bit and becoming more of an adult, a pretty lady, mm-hmm. I've gone through so much in my home. David is like so excited. My landlord.
When did this happen?
I'm going to tell you, my landlord just raised my rent $400. Now, when I tell you I live in a shit shack in a nice section of town, is putting it mildly. Yeah. I was overpaying. So long story short, we have to leave because it's not even worth what I'm paying now. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to give us some cockamamie excuse why they're raising it. But anyway, a few months ago, I had a yard sale. I made like $600. Mm-hmm. And anything I didn't sell, I donated to a woman's shelter out in Camarillo. And there's so much. I got rid of so much. Half of my garage worth of clothing.
Wow. So there are a bunch of homeless women in Camarillo.
Fierce.
Looking like sluts.
Yes.
Roaming
fierce.
Around.
They're going to get the only job of their life. They're going to walk in with their job training and they are going to get that job in that leopard blazer.
In a pair of leather pants with fire burning up there.
Yes! They are going to get that house mom job at the strip club, but whatever, it pays the bills. I am not judging, but I am totally expulsing. I'm getting rid of stuff, and I'm proud of myself.
Good for you. Yeah. How much stuff are we talking about?
A lot. Boxes and boxes. Now, then I went through this moment of that whole bag of jewelry I gave you was part of my...
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
Because I thought, maybe I can list it. And if stuff that I wore on the show and make money somehow for charities or for myself or for my children's college fund.
Sure.
Like I started thinking about that because people love the stuff that I wear. Maybe I can auction it off and, you know, give some to GMHC or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, there's a million things I can do. So I did hold on to some of the clothing and I would like to auction it off, but I am getting rid. And this feels so good.
Yeah.
It's a transition. Seriously.
You're transitioning.
I am again
in
my life at 46 years of age where I go, I can let go. It's okay.
Yeah.
My kids don't want it. What the fuck? Oh, am I holding on to memories? Am I holding up to crack dreams? Like, what is it? So I realized that there is some kind of weird connection, maybe having to do with my mother. I don't know.
No. I mean, you've seen the show Hoarders.
Yeah.
You know, it's people holding on.
I was not a hoarder.
You're a collector. It's people holding on to
memories. Yeah.
And who they were back then. And they don't want to lose that.
And I'm willing to shed it now.
Yeah.
It took this long for me to go, oh my God, that's what you are doing.
Yeah.
So... and as I'm moving now, we're going to move again in the next 4 months or so. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get rid of more and I'm actually looking forward to it.
Are you going
to
stay out there in Blacklist?
Yeah.
Really? Why? Yeah. Because of schools?
Yeah. Yeah.
Aren't your girls out of school yet?
No. They don't grow that quickly.
But, well.
She's going to be a sophomore next week.
Which means she's 20.
Which means she's 14.
Oh,
no,
14.
15. Oh my God. 15. Terrible mother. 15. Yeah. She's getting her license this year. 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And the little one is going into eighth grade. She's not even in high school yet. So until they're out, I have to stay out there in no man's land.
Right.
In Kardashian land.
Yes. Wow.
Yeah.
My goodness. Now, you know, with my old costumes, I've held on to them.
I know you did, but yours makes sense.
Well, and also I've put a lot of them on display at the pop-up shop here in Hollywood.
You have a place to store them.
Yes.
It's different when you have the space.
Right.
My husband would concur.
Mm-hmm.
I have no problem with you keeping it if you got some place to put it. Right now, it's sitting in boxes in our garage. It's like, right. What's... He goes, Michelle, if you haven't worn it in a year, why are you keeping it? And he's right.
Oh, he sounds like Oprah.
But he's right. That's the rule, isn't it?
It is the rule.
If you haven't worn it... So yesterday when I was cleaning stuff out again, I went, I haven't worn these in 5 years.
Yes.
Why am I keeping them?
Yeah.
But then there's this gut part of me that's going, how can you just give it away when you paid so much for it?
Right. Well, they say that was why... Forever, I will change clothes 3 times a day so I can get my money's worth out of the clothes.
I remember you doing that.
Yes, yes. I've been doing it as much. I haven't been as social in the past couple of years. I haven't been going out as much. I've just been working.
Well,
so
amen
I wear the clothes at work, you know.
You do.
And I recycle them and do all that stuff. Not the drag
stuff.
But you
get dressed. No, he's talking about suits and stuff.
Suits and stuff.
And you get dressed every day.
Every day. Yeah. I will dress up. In fact, we're at the studio right now filming, and I had a lunch break and I left campus, which I rarely do.
Yeah,
I usually
you don't
have
do
lunch
that.
Here. Because I want to go look for this jewelry for this one outfit,
right? Did you put a suit on?
No, I didn't have any. You know, I had a suit here.
Did you feel naked?
I wore these sweats.
Who are you?
I know. I thought, you know what? I want to creep over to this one place and go in, check it out. And meanwhile,
everybody's...
they said, oh, you know, you should probably go over here. So I went over there. And then we stopped and got a salad and stuff.
Do you know that if I would have ran into you, me, Michelle, uh-huh. not a random person, uh-huh. USA, Michelle would have run into you on the street and saw you, that I might have gone, are you okay?
Yes.
Just because it's so out of character.
It's so out of character because I will throw on, first of all, for a man, a suit is the easiest thing to throw on. It's no thought. You put on a button down shirt.
It's like Garanimals.
Yeah, it's like Garanimals. You put on a button down shirt.
Yeah.
You put on a jacket. You put on the pants, a pair of loafers. You are done. You're looking good.
Hilaire.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's so easy and I love it. And I know, listen, this is Hollywood. It's a company town. Like Joan Crawford said, if I go out of the house, I'm going to go out of the house like Joan Crawford, the movie star.
If you want the girl next door,
go next door.
Yeah,
exactly. And that's true. You know, if you're here, it's a company town. Everybody is in the business. You're looking for your next job. You are an advertisement for your business. Dress up. Look great.
You're in the back of my head since we had a lunch meeting a while back. And ever since that moment, I've been doing that. To set, I think, is different because I literally come out of my car, come in here.
Yeah, that's what that's why I'm wearing this. I go drive from the house to set, get in there and get dressed, and then come home and go right to bed.
But in the days that I'm not, or if I'm carting around town or even going shopping, even at the mall, I have to, like, because now it's happening. I was at the mall, literally, phone fell on the ground and broke.
Mm.
I didn't have the time to think about it. I had to take it into Apple and I went in sweats. Mm-hmm. Literally 10 people, I love you. I love the show. And I literally, Lily goes, why did you pick today not to dress up?
Yeah.
And I went, damned it. This, you were in my head.
Yeah.
It was the one day I have been given it every day.
Yeah.
Even if I don't wear makeup, I'm done.
Uh-huh.
My hair's done.
Uh-huh.
I wear cute glasses,
uh-huh.
lip.
Were you in a Cooper's limousine?
Don't you want to ride? Don't you want to ride?
Somebody slap me. Oh, don't slap me.
I am not in the mood. Don't. Okay, sorry. We should remake that song, you know.
Oh my God, it's such a great song. Is that the menopause or is that the other one?
I think
one?
We combined both of them.
I do, yeah. It's the menopause. What's the other one?
Meeting in the Ladies' Room.
Meeting in the Ladies' Room.
And I Miss You.
That's you know, she's doing Michael Jackson when she's recording that.
You know that I've been wanting to do that ballad over and over. I think I'm going to do it in real life on stage.
Yeah.
Because I think if I recorded it, I will get dragged through the mud.
Right.
Because she is doing Michael Jackson.
We're talking about
so
the group.
So is, by the way, Jamal on Empire. Carry on.
Yes. We're talking about the group Climax, spelled with a K. Climax.
And two X's.
Yes. And they had, those were huge hits for them.
Yeah.
And
I implore you to buy their greatest hits album, by the
way. Yes. Oh, I have it. I love it.
Not you, them.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I know you got it, girl.
You know I got it. But that's the thing, is that if you are in business, you have to, we talked about Uber earlier. If you're in business, you have to always up the ante because there's some 18-year-old who just got off the bus, younger, prettier, smarter, who is going to take your job. That's why you got to make your shit good.
So true.
That's what I'm saying, I love Detroit. Word up to, shout out to Detroit.
Hey,
love
hey.
Detroit. But, you know, that whole mentality that, we want our jobs back. Like, oh, no, that job actually doesn't exist anymore.
It's the victim thing. Get out of it. Get strong. And you're right. That job doesn't exist. So what are you going to do? You're going to find that next job or you're going to create that next job.
Or move. Move to where there is a job,
yep.
You know. But, you know, listen, you and I have both been in the business for 300 years.
Thank God.
I've done it all. And I will do it all again.
Continually. You know? Yeah. I agree.
So we've got more right after this break.
Okay.
Hey, now, you, Michelle, you know I have this pop-up shop here in Hollywood.
Do I know about your pop-up shop?
Yes,
it's legendary.
Legendary. It's over at Hollywood and Highland, right in the center of Hollywood. In fact, do you know that's the busiest intersection in Los Angeles?
If you've ever driven there,
yeah.
Yes, it's very easy to figure out.
But it's also very easy to get to on the train. So if you're in the LA area, why don't you pop on over to the pop-up shop. We have my chocolate, dark chocolate and milk chocolate.
Which are amazing, but since I'm the vegan that I am,
yeah.
I am preferential to your sweet candies.
Yes.
The sticky candies.
Yeah, they're peppermint sweet candies with little sayings on them. They say, you better work and work.
And say love.
Say love, yeah. All those kind of things. They're delicious. And in the pop-up shop itself, there is a display of my costumes and of video, audio-visual display and all kinds of stuff to see. And there's the shade tree where you can take a picture,
yes,
to show off in front of, for your people back home,
yeah,
that you were there. So stop on by RuPaul's pop-up shop at Sweet Store LA. If you go to sweetstorela.com, you'll get all the information you need.
It's like a little mini Rue museum, and it's so worth it. And go bite into Rue's yummy chocolate. Mmm.
Merry Christmas, Michelle.
Chrissy Christmas.
You know, it's been 17 years, 18 years since the last Christmas album.
That in itself is just gross.
Yes. And you remember when we recorded that in my living room?
Do I remember? In your living room, all set up. You had three mics going, yep, around. We're just standing there.
Yes. Well, this new album, which is called Sleigh Bells, is out now on all formats, all platforms.
No, and wait, it's called Sleigh Bells, but it's called Sleigh Bells.
Yes, exactly.
S-L-A-Y.
Yes. And Michelle, we are so happy with the song that we did on this thing. It's
really good.
It's good. And the interstitials, which were taped just like we're talking right now.
Yep.
For the podcast. So go out and get Sleigh Bells for the holidays. You're going to love this album. It is so special. We've got special guests like Syeda Garrett, Todrick Hall, the Hit Crew make an appearance. And of course, yours truly, Michelle Visage,
yay,
is on our song From Your Heart.
And
you're going to love it.
I love the whole album, but I'm going to say that our song is the best.
Okay. You could say that because I am in love with that song too.
So good. It's so Ace of Base meets Christmas. It's just, and you can play it for any holiday because it's just holiday.
Yeah. It's got a great, great lineup. Big Frida's on there.
Yes, Big Frida too.
It just serves. And it's going to be one of those albums that are, it's going to be around forever,
mm-hmm,
because it really captures the Christmas spirit and the spirit of giving. Go out and get Sleigh Bells by RuPaul right now at iTunes or Amazon, or listen to it on Spotify.
The spirit of giving, just not giving herpes, right? Just you mean giving gifts, like giving of yourself, love. Yes. Sleigh Bells, iTunes, Amazon. Go get it now.
Yes. You know, I was just laughing about meeting in the ladies' room and the Climax record.
I want to do it with Rue.
Yeah. Well, I still think about when they lip-synced it on Drag Race, and the Greek girl was on our show, and they cut away to us. What's Debbie Matenopoulos?
Oh, I was like, I don't know any Greek queens. Do we,
yeah,
have any Greek queens?
Yeah.
Debbie Matenopoulos.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we were just grooving when they cut away to,
yeah,
us. And we were just...
Were we lip-syncing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes! Was Debbie looking at me like I was crazy?
No, she was grooving
okay,
too.
Good.
She was grooving too. Isn't it funny how memories...
Memories or mammaries?
Not mammaries.
Okay.
I'm talking memories.
Okay.
Like the Barbara Streisand collection.
They, like the corners of my mind?
Yeah. You remember the photographs. You remember the pictures. Because when I remember that song, I remember what was on television. Like a gift of us grooving to that song,
uh-huh,
on television. And when I think about my childhood, have you seen it lately? And
no,
by the way, no,
I can't.
Yeah. I remember the photographs and like videos and things. You know what I mean?
You remember it in snapshots.
In snapshots. The actual snapshots.
Yeah.
You
Which
know?
Is funny because my husband was just asking me because after my mom died, my dad let everything go downhill with upkeep. Meaning like all the photographs that they had, I think are in his attic in New Jersey in the blaring friggin' heat of the summer and in the freezing cold. So I'm afraid to see what they look like.
Mm-hmm.
I finally found my prom video, which I have to get changed from VHS because the VHS player that we have, I got to go video. So it loads the VHS and it burns onto a DVD.
Yes.
My VHS is from 1986, so it doesn't even read that VHS.
1986?
86.
VHS machine.
Doesn't even read it. No, not the machine, baby. The actual VHS. Because the machine that I got is newer.
Right.
So it doesn't even read the ones from 86. I have to find a place that does all that old shit. I know I have 8mm. We have, because I remember, speaking about the snapshots, I remember being a little girl and my dad and my mom would set up like a screen.
Yes, yes, yeah.
And we'd watch our movies
in
my living room.
Wow, wow.
And I don't, did they have sound in those?
No, a lot of them didn't.
No, I just remember seeing us the footage. Yeah. So my dad's got those on reel to reel. He's got all the pictures of me. Like, I want to see the funny stuff.
Right.
I got some for the book, mm-hmm. but there's so much more that I'd love to share with the world because they are so bad.
Well, you've got to do it now because that stuff really deteriorates, especially you know, on the East Coast.
Yes, fast. Yeah. But my dad can't. He's got two new hips and he's 77. He can't get up in the attic, so it's like asking my brother to do it. I gotta fly my happy ass out there and do it myself. You know,
when would you find the time to do that?
That's what I'm saying. So it's like, can somebody just crawl in the attic and take him into like an atmospheric pressure that's actually good for photographs, you know?
Are there flowers in the attic?
There are, and there are candles in the wind, but they blow out quickly. Yeah,
I don't know why people put candles in the wind. Everybody knows they blow out.
Duh.
Yeah. Yeah, I have lots of pictures, after I read
it. Do you keep them?
I have them in photo books.
You do.
And I haven't looked at them in a long time. I don't like going back. You know, recently
on
YouTube, I don't know. You know what? I don't want to
even watch videos of yourself.
I don't like to do that. Although recently I saw on Twitter, someone had posted a video of Nelson's last video. Nelson was the guy who videotaped us in New York all those years in the 80s. You see things of me on YouTube from 84 on.
Yeah.
They're all over. All
your
over
first trip to London when your suitcase was a plastic bag.
No, that was not filmed, thank God. But all the other stuff. But it was Nelson's last post. He died the night of, he had a heart attack and died the night of July 3rd, 1989. And this was his video of going on a walk to watch the sunset with his dog, July 3rd. He died that night, July 3rd.
Shut up.
It was his last video because he was known for his videos.
Yes, of course.
So I watched that about a week and a half ago and I hadn't seen it. I don't think I've ever seen it because I was there. Because the video ends, I'm in the backyard with Lady Bunny.
Yeah.
She's making hamburgers and I'm in the backyard.
Some things never change.
And I've never seen it before, but I watched
it. What did that do to you?
You know,
did you sob?
You help me with this with the English. It was sort of prophecy. It was
like a self-fulfilling prophecy for Nelson?
Some of the things that he said made it seem like he knew this would be his last post. Of course, he didn't.
Self-fulfilling prophecy.
Thank you, Michelle. You went to college.
I did. For theater, that was...
For theater. Well, theater works.
Useless.
Yeah. It was so you could help
useless,
me out.
Useless, darling. Useless.
It was so you could help me out in these podcasts.
Yes, I'm
that's
here
what
for
it was
you.
For.
I'm here for you.
But it was interesting because he said things that were like that, what she
was
said.
Was he ill?
No, he had a heart attack.
Yeah, but he was so skinny and tiny.
No, he was just, he was only 41 years old.
Drugs?
Nope, no drugs.
So did it run
he
in
smoked
his
weed.
Family?
He smoked
weed.
Yeah,
but I mean, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, no, none of that stuff.
So he must have had some kind of pre-existing condition, because at 41 to drop dead of a heart attack on a slight man, he was a tiny man.
Yeah, he was probably 6. He was probably
5'9". No, maybe he was thin.
He was thin, but he was just in good health. He wasn't overweight. He was a regular.
That's what I mean. That's abnormal for him to drop dead of a heart attack 41 years old.
I guess so. It was definitely unexpected.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Definitely unexpected. He was 41 years old. He was our ambassador. He taught us. He was like a mentor for us because he taught us about all these films. He had all the films of Tennessee Williams and Fellini and
classics.
I can't say that word. You guys know how hard it is for me to say anything with several syllables. Antonini, whatever. These great films. And 41 years old. But anyway, I did watch this and it was beautiful. It was great to look back, but I usually don't like to see.
See, I love it because I feel like it shows me you can't know where you're going if you don't know where you've been.
Right.
And it shows me, oh my God, you really, when the moments I feel like I haven't changed at all and I'm not learning and I'm not growing, I look back and I go, oh, of course.
Right. Sure.
When I watched the Nelson videos of you, I didn't know you at that point. I met you for the first time in 86. And no, I graduated in 86, so I must have met you in 87.
Yeah, 87, yeah, yeah. In there.
87, 88.
Yeah.
and met you, not hung out with you, not kikied, but would see you. Mm-hmm. I see you, girl. Because mm-hmm. I started with Suzanne in 88. So for me, seeing that you, it makes me fall in love with you even more just because I miss those kid years of your life, you know? And it's like, that's my baby. I look at it and go, that's my baby, you know? And you were a baby.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I know those parts of you because when I first met you, but I didn't have all of those parts of you. So seeing it to me is rewarding.
It's so funny that in the age, in that time, you know, there was a recording device that would chronicle all of this. And I remember I met Nelson through Dick Richards, and Dick Richards was my mentor in Atlanta. And he had a public access television show called The American Music Show that I watched in the suburbs of Atlanta and Sandy Springs. And one day I wrote a letter into him because I didn't know them and said, I'd love to be on your show. And he says, what do you do? I have an act called RuPaul in the U-Hauls, and I'd love to come on with my act and do that. He said, sure. I left my number. He called me and said, yes, come do it. And that was the beginning, real beginning of my career. And Dick Richards supported me. He owned the record company that eventually put out my first records and all the, I was, you know, in 83, I was in this band
before called, the Tommy Boy stuff.
Yes. Yeah. In 83, I was in this band called Wee Wee Pole. And that whole year, I was homeless that whole year, not homeless in the sense of couch surfing like kids do. Yes. And, Lady Bunny and I would, stay at all these people's houses, and we sleep all over the place. We were inseparable.
But how fun was that?
It was fun. It was great. We were partying and having a great time.
And that's the time of your life to do it.
Yes,
not
it
in
is.
Your 50s.
Absolutely. Well,
ask Lady Bunny.
Dick Richards grew up with Nelson in South Carolina.
Oh, okay.
In Kentwood.
Kent South, was Louisiana.
Yeah, it's Kenwood, South Carolina. So when we went up to New York, Nelson was our liaison New York.
From Dick. Exactly. So Dick put you in touch with him.
Exactly.
Oh, so it made you feel like you had a piece of home.
And then that house at 5 9th Avenue where Nelson lived, he lived there from 1978.
How did he make his money?
He worked at the Carnegie Music Store. At Carnegie Hall. Around the corner, there is a music store with sheet music. I don't know if it's still there, where they would sell sheet music to...
Like the Colony
yeah,
music.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. But it was classical. He worked there. He had worked there, I think, from 1978.
And he made enough to pay rent?
Yeah. Yeah. He did. He'd worked there forever. And then after he died, you know, I always had a place to stay at Nelson's house.
Yeah.
But after he died, I moved in with Larry T. in Lahoma, and we were paying $500. This is a three-story house. We were paying at 5 9th Avenue.
Same place?
Yeah.
Okay.
We took over his place after he died.
Oh, okay.
He died in that place.
Oh, after he died. Okay.
Yeah.
Was that creepy?
For you no, hell no.
Featuring?
Okay. I ain't scared of no. Everybody died somewhere.
Plus, somebody he was your friend. He ain't going to haunt you in a bad way.
Yeah. Yeah. And actually, I moved into his room. Yeah.
Where he died. That didn't freak you out?
No, hell no. I ain't freaked out. But you know what freaks me out? Stupid people freak me out.
What's your amen?
Holla. You know, stupid people are the scariest thing on this planet.
Holla.
But we were paying $500 each for a three-story house.
$1,500. You can get that trick in one night.
Oh, honey, yes.
$1,500 for a three-story?
Yeah, I could find that in the car seat of in the
was it
cab.
A house?
It was a house.
In New York City?
In New York City, in the West, in
like
the meatpacking. It was a federal. It wasn't a brownstone. It was a federal-style house.
Ah.
And the boards on the floor were the planks from the ship. They would dismantle the ship. The Dutch would dismantle the ship when they came over to New York from wherever Dutch people come from.
Holland. We'll go with Holland. Just go with that. Say yes. They come from France. Go with that.
They would dismantle the ship.
Dutchland.
And Deutschland. No, that's Germany.
Germany.
They would, and the floor of the house was made, every floor was made.
Did you get
out
splinters?
It, you could. It was worn down.
That
it was,
sounds so gorgeous.
It was gorgeous. And it turned into that restaurant, 5 9th Avenue, and I went there once for my birthday.
Did you freak the fuck out?
I went there with David Dalrymple, yeah. And he's and we were having drinks in my bedroom.
And Nelson was sitting there with you in spirit.
No, no, oh, the restaurant. It. And he said, well, Rue, you finally got your wish. A full bar in your bedroom.
Which you wouldn't have given for that 25 years earlier. Oh my goodness. Yeah. That's a great story that I never knew.
Yes. Well, we lived there forever. And, you know, because Nelson died in 89. I moved out of there in somewhere in the middle of 91, at the end of 91, something like that.
Uh-huh.
And then I got my record deal and blah,
that
blah,
was
blah.
92. Yeah.
92 is when I got the record deal.
Because that's when Soul System was out and that's when we ran into each
other. Yes.
Which really sparked another kind of, I still see you, I still see you moment.
Yeah, I would see you everywhere. And, you know, it's just so funny, the people that you connect with.
You don't, there is no explanation.
There's no explanation.
And don't ever take it for granted, kids out there. So when you connect with somebody and you don't know why,
pay attention.
There's a reason.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely. The same thing, the story you told about Randy, Barbado, who owns World of Wonder. And it's like, you have to pay attention to those moments. Rue and I didn't know each other. We worked with a bunch of drunks in nightclubs, saw each other. He watched me unknowingly. I watched him unknowingly. Mm-hmm. And then when it connected, it was like, oh, we still don't know why.
Right. Right.
And it wasn't until the radio show that it was like, oh, yeah, well, now we know why.
Yes.
We're meant to work together. Now it makes sense. But how many times in your life, I know for me, I've met people, boys or girls or otherwise, you dated, it didn't work, or you wanted to date and didn't, and misconnections, et cetera. And you don't know why until later.
Yeah.
You know, that you it didn't work and you go, oh, my God, somebody was intervening like for a reason. You know what I mean?
But there would be some people who will never get that. Some people are intuitive enough to go, wait a minute, there's that same guy again.
Why?
And there are people in my building in New York, there are people I always end up in the elevator with, and there are people in that building I will never see. I don't ever see them. I've never seen them.
No.
And I will never see them because our energy frequencies don't run along the same path.
Yeah.
You know?
It is pretty amazing, but you just said it right. Intuition.
Mm-hmm.
If it's there, don't take it for granted. Use it. If you see that same guy over and over, go up to that guy. I know you sound like a weirdo. Just say, I keep seeing you. I don't know why. What's your name? You know what I mean?
Yeah. And if you see Kami, you know.
Let her know.
Let her know, please.
Yeah,
let her know.
Yeah.
But, you know, the old videos, I don't, even the photos that I have in those photo books, I have a resistance to opening them up because I don't want to relive the emotions that they bring
but
up.
But I think therapeutically.
Yeah.
As your therapist,
uh-huh.
I think it's actually a really good idea. I haven't done it with my mother yet, and I think I need to. So when I go there and get into that attic, I'm going to have that breakthrough for me, which I think is going to be a good thing because I went right away from being my mother's daughter to my father's caretaker.
Right.
And I became the mother, the matriarch.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get to mourn. So for me, I think it's going to be beneficial. And I think for you, you're fighting it, but it's going to be extremely beneficial.
Right.
When I look at those videos, your pictures are going to be different, of course, seeing your mom and your dad and what you went through and your journey and your struggle. But seeing the videos of you, I think are going to be so much more rewarding than you can ever possibly imagine.
Well, there's a part of me, too, that always wants to keep an eye on the future. I mean, to not really look back.
You're not taking it away, Rue. I'm talking about an hour or two. I'm not talking about every fucking day for a year.
Yeah.
I'm saying go into the K-hole for 2 hours, watch them, and you're gonna get this. I'm telling you, you're gonna walk away feeling like, oh, because it was like amazing.
Yeah.
You're gonna see where you were.
Yeah.
You know it.
Yeah.
But to relive it, like watching that prom video for me was like, oh my God.
Uh-huh.
I was a terror. Terror.
What do you mean?
I was so terrible to my mother.
You see that in the video?
Oh my God, horrible.
Oh my God.
Horrible. Making fun of her and calling her stupid.
Oh.
Calling her the R word that we don't say anymore.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
RuPaul.
Uh-huh.
Just saying terrible, terrible things.
Oh, dear.
Because I was a Brooklyn kid from, you know, this mother that raised me in Central Jersey. And it was like, she, you know, didn't give, she just ignored me. She was like, oh, she's just a feisty teenager.
Yeah. And that, as you're a mother, is that what you have to do? You have to
absolutely not would my kid get away with that shit. Are you kidding me?
Well, it's still early. I mean, the 13-year-old's becoming a Mormon for crying out loud.
Bless her heart. Let her do whatever she wants. The 15-year-old, she's the one that I have to stay on because she'll try it. There's no way.
She'll try to come for you.
Oh, she will try it?
Uh-huh.
Try it.
Uh-huh.
No way. Mm-mm. I go in there because right away, I don't want it to be like that.
Right.
I need to So my point is, and is for you to allow yourself that.
Maybe I will.
It'll pass. I promise you, you're going to feel so good about it and it's going to go away. I don't know about the parent stuff. I haven't gone through that yet.
Yeah.
I might be right with you on that.
Yeah.
But I can tell you, for me watching the Nelson videos, they are so rewarding.
Yeah.
And you're going to see that little boy that you've seen many times.
Well, maybe now is the time. I mean, they did sort of open that door and it was great to spend that time with Nelson, you know, that last day. I was there that last day, but it was interesting to watch the videotape. So, all right. Well, I think we are out of time. Kids,
that was fun. That was a fun talk.
That was
today.
Fun. It was fun. Yeah. I'll send you the bill. Will be in the mail.
Make perfect.
Yeah.
Great.
You know, you bill me and I'll bill you.
Perfect.
And it's perfect.
Yes.
Although my rate is a little bit more than
as
yours.
Well. It should be because you're a little bit older.
All right, darling. Well, until next time.
Love you. Bye.
Can I get an amen? Can I get an amen? If you can't love yourself, how in the hell you gonna love somebody else? Can I get an amen?
And don't forget to subscribe on iTunes.
If you can't love yourself, how in the hell you gonna love somebody else? Amen.